Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1139. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a luck, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, well, if we were doing video for this, I could say something like, hey, not using the usual microphone here. So, if anything sounds weird, Stunt Granny has gone on the road. And hey, there might be more road recordings in the very near future here. So, get
All
used to
right.
this microphone. I am not taking the expensive microphone to Las Vegas. So,
Yeah. I completely understand. Yes.
with that being said, speaking of WrestleMania, I believe you and I, probably you and Jeremy, we have all talked about the concern of a multi-person matchup for. I always get these mixed up just because they the WWE Championship. We had Cody Rhodes going up against Drew McIntyre this week. We all assume since there were a number of participants involved already with both Drew and with Cody that we would probably get more chicanery than we ended up getting really at the end of SmackDown this week.
No, we
Jacob
did
fought
not.
too, only one showing up, and boy, he played a minimal part.
Yeah, no, he just took a chair away from McIntyre. I mean, they're gonna play it up bigger than it really was to
Oh,
get us
yes.
to McIntyre Fat 2 at WrestleMania, of course. But
Yes, they will.
but we are talking about two separate singles matches, not a four-way involving the principals who have mostly been in and around each other's orbit. I mean, obviously McIntyre, Fatu, and Rhodes have been in each other's orbit for months now. Orton just recently got more dragged in. Sami Zayn is still sniffing around the main event scene, although I don't feel like that's going anywhere anytime soon. But it might be going
Oof.
somewhere. We'll see. And we actually struggled to remember that this is the most important news story of the week. Is that possibly because it feels like Drew McIntyre's title reign was somewhat invalidated here and that it really didn't amount to very much and that it almost feels like Cody was the champion the whole time?
I,
Too
you
early
know,
there.
I feel like we've talked about, similar things like
Yeah.
that, where someone's lost a championship and won it back in fairly short order. I believe they said during the broadcast that Drew only had one title defense, I
Yes,
believe, in between.
only Sami Zayn in a nothing, and it turned out to be a nothing match at the Royal Rumble, so it's an easy match to forget. And then
So,
otherwise,
yeah.
McIntyre was just interfering in other people's matches for weeks on end. Yeah,
And I'm trying to remember when he won that.
it was the beginning of
Just.
January, so it was maybe a shade over
Oh.
2 months then.
Okay, yeah. Because I couldn't remember if he had won it at PLE or
No, that was a
somewhere else.
SmackDown. That was a
Okay.
SmackDown. That was a SmackDown in Germany when they did the three stages of hell.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The overseas crowd got that one.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those ones where you just kind of wonder what the thought process was,
The
when the whole
thought
thing
process,
started,
yeah.
or if they
Is
just were so desperate for Cody to be on top that they're like, nah, we're not doing a four-way match here. We're
right. Yeah, it feels like a lot of things change. There's been a lot of indecisiveness, a lot of a lot of this is not being decisive, a lot of changing ideas. And But it also just feels like we took the long way to get back to where a lot of people thought we were going to be 6 months ago. 6 months ago. I mean, I think 6 months ago, Orton and Rhodes was a lead candidate for the WrestleMania main event match. You know, before McIntyre won the thing.
Yeah, well, and even really got more involved, like, 'cause did he injure, in quotations, Orton along the way at some juncture, which kept him
Yeah.
off TV, which did, derail a little bit of that Cody and Randy hype, at least a little bit,
Yeah,
I don't know if derail is quite the right word, but it's
they took Randy Orton off TV for an inordinate amount of time. Is there don't believe that there was any kind of real injury there, just Randy getting some time off. And then yeah, we get everything we got. One of the big things that they just kept dragging out the Rhodes McIntyre feud to the point where if Drew McIntyre didn't win that match in January, he was dead in the water as a character.
Yeah, as much as you can get away with the complaints that he did, as far as interference, 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 like it, at some point it happens to everyone, and not that you just need that win, even if interference helps you get that win along the way.
He needed that win, but it feels like they also could have maybe done it earlier. Or it feels like they could have dropped the Rhodes McIntyre feud at some point and moved Drew on, so they weren't in a situation position to have him lose three matches in a row to the same guy. But you know what? They did it the way they did it, and again, they were not, you know, this whole WrestleMania ticket sale issue has just led to some led to a lot of chaos. I'm sure the TKO overlords are in Triple H's ear constantly. I think it was Meltzer who said something like Triple H is not being allowed to do his job, but at the same time, the finances are such that it doesn't matter. As much as it would have back in the days when we're talking, live events and maybe a handful of pay-per-views a year are your entire business model.
It is definitely a different day as far as the business model goes.
Right. That doesn't mean you still
So,
don't need people in those seats.
well,
So
and it still
they've.
doesn't mean you don't need coherent
Right.
storylines
Yeah,
that
there is. Yeah, it's yes. It's definitely affected, coherency for sure. But now we've got Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton, and I think of all of the options, maybe it's the best one. Again, it's the match people have been talking about for a while. There's a lot of intrigue with Randy. Getting that 15th title, and Randy, of course, has never been hotter as a babyface for sure, or probably period ever. And Cody's, in that weird period of okay, he did it 2 years ago, and it's his reigns have struggled to really have defining moments and defining feuds along the way, so we end up with situations where he has now lost the tw title twice to pick it back up, for a third time, and he's going against his friend Randy Orton, but I don't think they'll do it, but I'd like to see them just go with Cody as the straight heel. We've already got two baby faces sniping at each other on. Over on Raw and just both being jerks. Now this would be different. This would be tension, but I still love you, man. Type stuff. That they would be doing if they both stayed babyface, and that's my least favorite build up way to build up a match.
It is like I don't know what it is where I can, well, at least when I watch the UFC, I could handle that. But for some reason, that hype in professional wrestling just hits differently.
It doesn't work. No, Wrestling is not about that. I mean, there has just been way too much handshakes, way too many hugs, way too many dudes crying on TV, talking about how much they love each other, they love the business. I went on this rant nearly 2 years ago when during the I believe it was the All In 2023 Adam Cole MJF main event. This is not what people this is not what people watch wrestling for. Yes, I mean babyfaces can be friends, but when we get to a point where they need to fight each other, it's worked a lot less than it has worked. So yeah, I
Well,
would.
it and it is one of those things, like you kind of brought in the Roman Reigns CM Punk stuff, at least tangentially, and those two guys are kind of assholes. You know, like
They are oh, they are complete assholes. We would
even
joke
when they're
about everything.
straight
Yes.
baby faces, they're still assholes.
Oh, they are
Cody
assholes. I mean,
Rhodes does not really act like an asshole. And even Randy Orton, though he still kind of exhibited some of the legend killer behavior from time to time, including who was he trying to punt McIntyre? Yes, it was McIntyre that he was trying to punt not
yeah.
that long ago. But it's still like it doesn't have that level of asshole that CM Punk or Roman Reigns have.
Yeah, no, and I know we've had Aleister Black trying to whisper in Orton's ear to be that guy again who, punts someone out, and it'll be the more ambiguous and wishy-washy if they go that route. So again, I'm like, okay, they're doing a contract signing on Friday. They've already announced that good old Jelly Roll is going to be there to support his friend Randy Orton, but he still kind of likes Cody too. I'm still friends with Cody too. Come on, Cody. Beat the shit out of Jelly Roll. Come on. I mean, we can take at least something if we have a bump.
And I mean, you kind of that is the other interesting part of the dynamic that they do need to get. Cody needs to beat up someone like a Jelly Roll to get the heat that he really needs going into this thing. Like he can't just beat up another wrestler or something like that.
Yeah,
Like I don't
no.
think that would do the trick.
I'm looking for Cody to turn heel. I mean, he not during the match, not after the match. Let's have a good old fashioned betrayal and hate story here. Come on now. This is wrestling. Come on.
Well, and it's the best way to bring in some of that previous storyline. Like they've touched on the relationship between him and Cody, but they haven't really touched on the breakup. And I'm trying to remember, did Orton kick them to the curb? I'm assuming. I really don't remember what happened with Ted DiBiase Jr.
Oh,
and Cody Rhodes
they were
and
teasing a breakup for like 6 months until it finally happened, and then they had the one of the least important match. They did a triple threat match, actually, I think, at that WrestleMania, and
oh my gosh.
it was just a terrible. It wasn't. I don't know what it was really a terrible match, but it was just like, who cares anymore? Everyone knows Orton's winning, so so why even bother?
Oh yeah, 26.
That I think was
Dear
F Phoenix, yeah.
WrestleMania 26. Yeah. Triple threat. I had to look
Yeah, I mean,
that
it
one
was
up.
one of the least important matches of the show. It was one of the lowest on the card Randy Orton ever was. Yeah, it was just not anything people cared about by that. Because didn't like Legacy just like get together and then like immediately start teasing breaking up? It was just during that really bad, yo. Again, when people talk about anything that's happened since Triple H took over, it's never been worse. It's never been less.
Oh my
No,
gosh.
you must be 15 years old and we're not watching during the guest host period.
Oh yeah, or even
Not even alive. You weren't
the
alive during the
guest
guest host.
GM,
That was a kind of old. No, it was the guest host who would act as a GM every week, and then that rolled right into the anonymous GM, the computer. Michael Cole at the computer. It rolled right into it. I think they may have
oh my
tried out Bret
gosh.
Hart as a as 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 a GM for like a month, and then took him out of that role. It was silly. Just that is some of the real worst stuff ever. I don't want to hear anything about how, yes, things haven't always gone smoothly since Mr. Paul Levesque took over, but it's nowhere near the worst of the last 10 or so years of Vince. No, some of the things that happened there.
Oh my gosh. The Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase Jr. matchup was second. Well, if you don't count the pre-show match, the pre-show battle royal, they were the second show on the match. Out of oof. That was a 10 match card. I hope to dear Lord we do not have a 10 match card.
No, we can't. We well, you know what? The matches weren't as long as the matches have gotten in this day and age, and back then they were still pay-per-views. You paid $60 for. They didn't have commercials.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, I'm looking, this one sticks out like a sore thumb on the list. 10 Diva tag match went 3 minutes and
Yeah, I bet it
26
did.
seconds.
I'm sure no
Like,
one even, not,
ooh,
everyone didn't even get the tag in at that point. That's
woof.
ridiculous.
Yeah, that not good, Jim. Not good at all. But hey, I guess we at least ended with The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels.
Yes,
So
that was fantastic. Yes. I
there
remember
was
that being
something at the end of it.
I think that was overall a pretty good show, but oh, that's right. That's the one with that Bret and Vince match that went forever and Bret couldn't do anything.
Except
just beat
surprisingly,
on Vince, yeah.
that's one of those hindsight. I don't remember this. I'm sure that the talking about it is somewhere in the Stunt Granny archive, but
I'm sure it is.
only an 11-minute match, because it
It
did
felt
feel like,
forever.
yes, it felt way longer than 11 minutes.
Brett couldn't take anything, so all he could do is just slowly beat Vince down for 11 minutes. Yeah.
Oof. Okie doke, but yeah,
Yeah.
so Randy and Cody didn't have really a to kind of circle back to what got us
Yeah.
off on that tangent. Randy and Cody didn't really have a good blow off, and I
Back
mean,
then, no.
no,
And then,
so I like you could probably pull that history in if you wanted to, you know.
yeah.
And I don't
And
care if
they always
Cody
have. I
makes
mean,
make makes some stuff up, like you left me by the side of the road. I had to become stardust after that, you know.
you could do so. Yeah, you could do things like, I mean, they've referenced that time, and but they haven't referenced any of the bad part or anything like that. It's just been, Cody sees Randy as like a as like as his big brother, and
Oh.
that's the relationship. But
Yes.
maybe we can maybe they can parlay that what actually happened on screen into Cody's motivation. Yes.
Yeah, and I mean they really need something like that. Like if Cody does go
Yes.
heel, like they really need to, 'cause I mean they did a good job of that with CM Punk and Roman Reigns, you know, just to reference that other matchup where maybe they didn't quite tell the story the way that it really happened, but they did enough twi you know, they had
Yeah.
enough truth in there where, you know, it really has worked in their benefit to hype that match.
Right. Yeah,
And they need to do something similar here.
I mean, there's stuff like, okay, Roman Reigns wasn't Punk's pick to be in the Shield. Then who picked him? Now you could say, and it could all tie them back in together. It doesn't have to be, well, of course, it was Vince McMahon. It could be Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman could be the one who picked, so then it all comes back around.
Oh,
Yes.
yeah, they could do that should they want to go that route. That will be interesting. But yeah, as much as yeah, there's a real logical build to Orton and in Rhodes, and yeah, it involves someone being more of a heel, and yeah. Cody is definitely the guy. And I know that any combination of us have talked about the fact that Randy Orton's just too over at this point,
No,
you know,
I don't think
to
you can.
even attempt
I don't think you could
that.
ever do it. I don't think you could ever do it again. I we're to that point with Randy. You just can't do it again. You just can't turn him again.
Yeah, he's allowed to punt people, but he's going to be doing it to heels in the near future. I guess with all of this said, do you think we are officially committed to singles matches? I know that you kind of said that in the lead up to all this thing. Is there any way do you think that that Drew finds his way back into the I had to ask the question.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's it's absolutely it's Tuesday. Friday, it's live on Friday. It's three they got 3 days. They got 3 days to change their minds again. Yes. It could absolutely change again. Yes, it could. They just can't. They're just struggling to get it together here. They just got to make choose a direction and go with it.
Oh,
It
yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it's that is definitely something that you know, we'll see unfold. So,
Yeah.
but I do believe that it was a clean enough win, and I guess that's why I started off with that part, that it doesn't seem like Drew McIntyre has a leg to stand on in this
No, he
situation
really
to
doesn't. I mean,
find
yes, he
himself
can.
back into
Yes, he
the.
can blame. Yes, he can blame Jacob Fatu and of course, they're gonna go off in their own direction, of course. But yeah, it does look now that yes, they've made their choice. It just feels so weird because it just feels like it was the choice to make 6 months ago, and they didn't do it. They didn't do it then.
Oh, yeah.
Now the thing is, having McIntyre win the title and then keeping Randy off TV until like between like I guess what was it like October and J September and January or October and January, something crazy like that.
It's in that vicinity,
It
yep.
allowed them to not blow their wad and do Cody versus Orton for the title before WrestleMania, if they got impatient.
Oh.
So now
Yeah,
it
if
does.
one of them's not on TV, hard to have the feud.
Right. Now so now now it absolutely does feel like a WrestleMania main event.
Oh yeah, and it is a WrestleMania main event. Like this is one where and I guess that was part of the reason, and I'm not sure that it was said completely out loud, that the four way, even though they've done them before, it just didn't feel like a cohesive four person match. Even though
No.
everyone was kind of involved with everyone else, it still didn't seem like one where you're like, oh, okay, I get it, you know, and you just kind of roll with it.
Right. Yeah. No. It didn't feel like a match that really made sense. And if they're just bound and determined to keep Cody in championship matches and then the main event of WrestleMania, this is the match to do.
Yeah, it really, as we've said, that his title reign has not been the best. Probably will be the best feud that he has during all three of these title reigns.
Yeah, there's a very good chance of that.
You know, just because of the history. And the other part of SmackDown that got locked down this past week. And you and I talked about it, Shahid and I talked about it, Rhea Ripley and Jade Cargill had a confrontation, and well, let's just I think it's best to say that the online was a little more salacious than what we got in person.
Yeah, no, this was it was basic, but there's tinges of, especially when what Rhea Ripley, there's tinges of the online stuff in there. Jade Cargill thinking, she's such hot shit, and she's not unconcerned with Rhea, she's unimpressed, and then Rhea kind of throwing back, you're You know you're champion. You know you're not. I'm gonna say that, but you're unproven. You're all show. You're all show, no go.
Yeah, that was definitely a point that that Rhea drove home, was that yeah, you got show muscles, I got go muscles, was the basic gist of it. And yeah, it did play off of what had already been established online. Yeah, it's gonna be weird. Like, I guess I'm trying to think of how they're gonna keep on building that one. Just because it would be weird to have Jade in a tag match, you know, just because she has kind of burnt all of her bridges that she has options for.
Yeah,
You know,
I don't think
Rhea
they're.
obviously can still just say, "Hey, Io, come on over here. I got a tag match."
Yeah, she could. Yeah, I don't know if that's what they're gonna do. I mean, obviously, we're definitely getting Jade Cargill versus Meechan on SmackDown,
Oh
so
yeah.
they can that's gonna carve up 1 week here, and then. Yeah, just promo exchanges, a pull apart, whatever you do.
Oh. Yeah, could just be basic moving forward, and that would be just fine, I suppose. It's still going to be a really interesting match to see unfold there.
Definitely will be, yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else directly like WrestleMania tipping that was on the TV. And I guess it would have been the fact that we've found a new place for Damian Priest in the tag team division, question mark.
Yeah, it we have. I didn't really see it coming, but when guys you see them together, you realize we've kind of been building into this for over 2 years.
It is kind of weird if you do look back on it. They have had a lot of interactions
They have had a lot of
backstage.
interaction. Priest was always the one in the Judgment Day who had the most sympathy for Truth. Yeah, it was always played like that, and they've had multiple interactions since Truth's been back. Priest has nothing going on for him. The tag team division is being held hostage by this. I'm just gonna call it, be honest about it. This terrible feud between the MFTs and the Wyatt Six. So let's get it. Let's rescue this tag belts from them. From this insipid, spooky feud.
Not that I had high hopes for it. I'm just not sure why they went back to it.
I mean, I don't
Or
really
even
finished
what.
it, but yeah, it's just none of these people have chemistry. It's Solo and Uncle Howdy slash Bo Dallas don't have don't didn't. Aren't they're not gonna they had one, they're not gonna give you a good singles match, and none of the rest of these people match up well at all. It's the Wyatt Six are so smoke and mirrors, and a number of members of the MFTs are limited, Talatonga and Tongaloa, and you got an aging Eric Rowan on the other side, and it's just not. It's just
Yeah,
it's it's
and
it's it's it's, it's not a great group. Not a great group of workers here either, and it's just nothing.
it's been really interesting. Like the two best workers are probably the ones that wrestle the most, which is
Right, Gacy and Loomis.
well, yeah, for them. And then I was trying to think, I don't know why, for the MFTs, I'm missing the two names that do most of their wrestling.
No, Tama Tonga, and then, oh, what? JC Mateo.
JC
JC Mateo
Mateo.
is, Yeah.
Yeah, I was ready to call him Jeff Cobb because
Yeah, yes.
and that is one of those wild ones where I mean, you're talking about those two can really go, but they haven't really let them go. It's
No.
one of those weird things where I know that Solo has wrestled
Yeah.
some, but he's almost held back Tongaloa and JC Mateo by not appearing in the ring himself.
Yeah. And are they kind of doing like a quiet thing where any two of the five can defend the titles? Because it feels like they switch out quite a bit. They haven't said Freebird rule about it, but it feels like that's what they're doing anyway.
Yeah, I feel like they might have slipped in Solo in there for one of the
Yeah.
title defenses at some juncture. So yeah, they're kind of quietly doing a Freebird rule without like you said,
Yeah,
Tongaloa
it's
and
silly. The tag
Tala
belts don't need to
Tonga
be held.
haven't
It
really.
I mean, if they want to keep them to keep doing their thing, whatever. It fills TV time. It's 3 hours, but we can rescue the tag belts and put it on a real team like Damian Priest and R-Truth.
Hey, we're at
I
least
want
gonna
to. I
have
want good.
good backstage segments.
They can have good
If
backstage.
nothing
Again,
else.
yes. They you know again and Truth. They always happy to see him get any kind of flowers. We got a tag title run a couple of years back that was a feel good moment. I'm all in for Truth winning these belts that really aren't that important. So you might as well give it to him.
Yeah, and the tag teams are always something of a candidate for multi-person matches, just to get more names on the card. So I would not at all be surprised if they face more than one team at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Oh yes,
So.
definitely. And speaking of tag teams likely facing more than one team at WrestleMania, we got the Irresistible Forces victory celebration. That was a good segue. Because there's no way that women's tag match at WrestleMania is going to be 2-on-2. No way in hell.
As much as I feel like you could have a half decent match with Alexa and Charlotte taking on oh shit, you just said the
Naya
name
and
and
Lash, Naya and Lash, the Irresistible Forces.
the Irresistible Forces, like it's such a basic wrestling thing, like that
Right.
one should be easy to leave in the memory bank.
But they're more like immovable objects. But I guess you don't want to call a woman an immovable object, so they went with the opposite. I understand you don't want to make a comment about a woman's weight like that.
Yeah, it is fair that they decided to move that route instead of the other route. Yeah, the
Because
optics,
the irresistible force is supposed to be the one that runs up against the immovable object.
Yeah,
But okay, we'll let it slide
I'm
because
not
they
sure
have been a
that
good
you
team.
can call Alexa Bliss an irresistible force.
Well, she definitely is not. No.
As much as she is a very fine professional wrestler, she does make for an odd pairing against the irresistible forces.
Yeah, she does, but her tag team partner does help make up for it.
Yes. Yeah. And her resume, as usual,
Yes, her
helps
resume
also.
precedes her. Yes, the.
Because did anyone else interfere in that segment?
It was Kiana James and Julia,
Oh, yeah. Because that was
and then
just
that led to a tag
that's
match.
just a
Yeah.
straight number one contenders match. Yeah.
Yes, so yes, Charlotte and Alexa did pick up the clean win there, as Julia's transition to being more of a tag team wrestler while still holding the Women's United States Championship. It continues.
Strangely enough, she's the one that eats the pin in this situation.
Yeah. Oh, they decided at least back by the Royal Rumble, if not a little before that. They're in the Kiana James business. Yeah, so the whole thing has been very strange. Well, a lot has been talked about the career of one Miss Chelsea Green, due to the the words of Michael Hayes on during WWE Unreal that he has since said we're edited and taken out of context. But
Oh.
it does, but they do take it is a second time now they've taken this United States title off of her, seemingly for no reason, to not put it on someone that they're willing to invest in.
Yeah, and that was, I guess, the wild thing. It seemed like they weren't quite in the Kiana James business when Julia won the championship back.
No,
But
they.
sometime during the second reign, it has turned into that.
And very quickly. It was
Yes.
within weeks. And yeah, Julia's barely defending this title. The chasm between the women's Intercontinental and women's United States title has continues to grow further, wider and wider.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, just yeah, we complain about the Intercontinental Women's Championship being too like overshadowing
Too big. Yes.
you know, and this one is yeah, just polar opposite
Oh yeah.
of that.
There has been no reason to take that belt off. That this can't be Chelsea Green's plaything. If that's if there's just no there's no intent of making anything more serious.
Yeah, and you can't even say. I know that her and Jordynne Grace are now wearing matching walking boots. But I believe that injury happened to Miss Green, you know, well past the time of her loss to Julia
Yes, yeah.
here. And I get, I mean, I guess Chelsea Green and man, I'm having a terrible time with names
Alba Fire,
tonight.
you're talking
Alba
about?
Fire. Yeah, I guess they could get thrown in as one of the tag
Yeah, on
teams.
any number of teams can get thrown in. You know, we haven't seen the Bella Twins since the Royal Rumble. You imagine they're going to want to make their claim at a tag team
Yeah,
championship for the for one time in their career, in their
they
little
said that they
comeback.
wanted them, and we haven't seen them since.
That's been a weird situation. I mean, I commented on it with Jeremy because, and he's an interesting person to comment on because he's very negative on the Bellas. You and I are both more, you know, we don't have really great strong feelings about them. He can't stand
Yeah.
them, so it's funny.
Yeah,
It's
I mean
a little funny.
they both improved, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean they were in that weird they came in when you could be on all fours and barking, but then we're kind of at the beginning of the, you know, Divas Revolution too. Like, I
Yes,
mean they were
they
just
were
getting
there. They were
phased
at the
out
beginning.
then, but
Yeah, but no, Nikki beating Nikki Bella is, was a big deal for any of the women coming up, you know, Charlotte, Becky, what have you know. It so Well, I don't know. If, I don't know if, but Charlotte definitely, because I know Charlotte took her for I believe took her first championship off of Nikki.
Nikki. Okay.
But yeah, it's just so funny how the elevation of these women's tag team championships that's gone on, you know, really since Charlotte and Alexa won them and then transitioned to the Kabuki Warriors, then you know it's been some more of the hot potato title than any other title in WWE, but it is presented as this hot, you know, competitive division, and it has been because since before the like last spring summer, the you know any you know s speculation or rumors about Brie Bella coming in was all about her and Nikki, you know, getting back together and winning the tag belts. When that was first discussed is when the tag belts still meant nothing. So it's like, okay, whatever. Just hand them to them. But now that it's like this hot competitive division, there is the, and we've already gone through Nikki Bella as a singles wrestler, you know, not being able, quote unquote, not being able to keep up. So now, you know, can they together keep up?
Yeah, 'cause that gap in athleticism is still gonna be there.
Yeah.
I think you can hide it a little bit better in tag matches than you can in singles. So there is that. But I do feel you though that I don't want to say that they feel too big for the championships, but it feels like they could have done the same thing for the tag championships that Becky has done for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Without them having to involve, like this would have been obviously pre the WWE putting together all of these super teams,
Yeah, definitely. You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
to
Yeah, no,
really
no. You think
feature
about that.
that.
Yeah. No, that is, yeah. Back over the summer, putting those women's tag titles on them would have been the right call. Now, yeah, again, you got a question. Yeah. Now that the titles are going to be, as we've, more go than show, will they, and they still haven't, and again, they disappeared after the Royal Rumble. So they still haven't had a tag match together. A single one. They haven't had one to even show what they can do now.
And they kind of need to beat one of those, super teams, or even if you want to ask the Kabuki Warriors or someone of that level, where it's someone that's had some screen time to get them into this matchup, because if not, they're just kind of being granted it, and oof, that usually ends up flying like a lead balloon. When someone gets granted a match,
Right, yeah.
fans definitely feel a certain way when things like that end up happening. I don't know. I don't think there's anything else to say about the women's tag belts.
No.
I guess there is a very interesting part of SmackDown that I believe you side mentioned. What do you think of Sami Zayn? I feel like that man is getting closer to a heel turn than Cody Rhodes is, I guess, since we talked
He
about that
definitely is,
earlier.
and again, and I am not, don't have a great idea where all this is going for him, but he's obviously losing his t he's obviously losing his temper. He's obviously, I have never seen when he kind of told off Cody a couple of weeks back and then immediately went and apologized. I have never heard a crowd so in unison, say but not say, what a pussy. It really, him pussing out of his, of standing up for himself. But then he goes, and then of course he has a conversation with Randy Orton, where Randy Orton tells him, you gotta be selfish.
Oh, yeah, because Randy's like, I was gonna win the match. Like, what'd you want me to do? Like, yeah, there's no hesitation,
Right.
And I think we even talked about it last week, where Randy did hesitate the last time when he had that chance, and it cost him the match. And this time around, he's like, "Nope, not happening this time." And it's just like, yeah, you don't need to be a complete heel to still favor yourself in that situation.
Right, no.
And
But again, I don't know. I don't. I think I've just been struggling to figure out where his place is anymore. It feels like something that's come and gone. Can a heel turn help? I guess it couldn't hurt at this point.
Well, and that's where my mind was wondering, like, does a heel turn, like, we've talked about how he's too far behind so many baby faces to win that championship. And I'm like, and I think we've also said at the same time that they don't have enough heels. But is he an important enough heel to have the championship?
I don't think
It's
so
like one of
again.
those
I don't think he'll
things
ever
where,
be that. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't.
and
There
I'm
was
with
a
you.
brief moment in history where you could have justified it, but that's over 3 years ago now.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
now
The
it's
chance was
not.
there, and they decided not to
Yeah,
take that shot, and
and
it's.
again, with how the Cody story and the remainder of the Bloodline story played out. You can't disagree with the decision they made. It just wasn't your time, Sammy, and then It unfortunately would never be your time again.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, well, no, I shouldn't say kind of in the Kevin Owens situation, because at least Kevin Owens has won the championship at some point. But
Yes.
I also think that Owens is in the same spot as him right now, where he is not going to get that chance again. You know, like
Yeah.
he might get, well,
He'll
maybe
get
I
up.
should
He'll be
rephrase
a
that. He'll
contender.
get a
Yeah,
champ.
he'll.
He'll be a
Yeah.
contender, but they'll never have him win it, I
Right.
guess is maybe the better way to put it.
Kevin Owens' ability to go from heel to babyface smoothly is probably underrated. He can always go with the wind.
Oh.
Whereas we've done Sammy as a heel at least two times before, and it's worked, yeah, to a point. But again, yeah, I just don't see in a WWE filled with, guys like, McIntyre, if Cody turns, Gunther, whoever else you could name. I don't see it. I think
Yeah,
Kevin Owens
it's
has a better
tough
chance of
sell.
I Yeah, I think Kevin Owens has another ch has better chance of getting another world title in his career than Sammy does getting one.
I agree. There is definitely one person who was on both Raw and SmackDown that quite frankly, I would be shocked if he does not end up with a championship reign at some point himself. Obafemi, not too surprising that he finally that he squashed a woken up Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, no. And as soon as Gargano got on the mic, you again, they're doing everything right here. It's like he is that guy that if someone gets on the mic and says, "I'll take anybody on," you know who's coming, and and people start chant, they just start chanting for it right away. This again, everything's happened very quickly with Obafemi because there will always be a market for the next Goldberg. There will always be the market for that baby face that finishes people quickly until he does, face, that immovable object guy who, and again, that could be coming up a lot quicker for Obafemi than, I mean, not that we think, because I think a lot of people are pretty damn sure that when Brock Lesnar gets on the microphone on Monday, with or without Paul Heyman, depending on where that's all going, Obafemi is the one who's answering that challenge.
There is still not a terribly long list of people to be able to answer that challenge. And Obafemi, I would definitely say, is the number one name on that list.
Definitely,
Because
yes.
I have not looked at the WWE's roster. Not a lot of big guys to answer that call.
Right.
And even though Trick Williams, at least size-wise, is in that category, it doesn't feel like they're going to put. They've already gotten him into a character, and that does not seem like his character.
No. If they want to intertwine all of the stuff with the Vision and, the Lesnar-Heyman connection, maybe LA Knight's a person who, needs a big WrestleMania match, who's doesn't seem to be figured in. But I don't love that matchup at stylistically or otherwise. I don't, and I do think that if anybody, the way the crowds have been reacting, if anybody but Obafemi accepts that challenge, unless they got some really huge surprise lined up, people are going to be
Omos
disappointed.
comes out.
Well, they've already done that at
Oh
WrestleMania.
God, that's right. It is kind of interesting. Like LA Knight has the size to fight Brock Lesnar, But it's interesting that I don't think of him as a big guy.
No. And again, this
Not not completely
stylistically, he's
sure why, but
it's yeah, it's just not a good. I don't find it a good stylistic match. And again, as I said, I it wouldn't surprise me if on Monday the second Brock gets in the ring, people are already chanting Oba, Oba, because people know where this is going or where they want it to go.
Yeah, I don't know if it will necessarily force the WWE's hand, 'cause
Because I
yeah,
think
I
because I
haven't
feel it feels
pulled
like
up
it's been like
the
somewhat of a working idea since the Royal Rumble.
oh yeah, and
They
even
could go
if
in different directions, but it feels like they were testing that out for sure.
yeah, 'cause I guess the only thing that I was thinking of, and I don't think I'd want to see this, but I'm at least saying that if the WWE decided to bring in another name, you could put Chris Jericho on that list, but I don't want to see Chris Jericho and Brock Lesnar at this time
No,
and date.
no, no. Yeah, that's not for Jericho, no.
So.
Plus, I think Brock really hates Chris Jericho, so I'm pretty sure he doesn't. I'm pretty sure Brock does not want. Brock would probably say no to that one. Brock is when Brock doesn't like someone, he lets you know it, and he will never give that person an inch. See Strowman Braun.
that mental image of Brock punching him in the head after what I'm trying to remember what Strowman did incorrectly
Oh yeah, there were.
preceding that, because it I don't even think it was, yeah, I think it was within that match, and he's just like, oh, it's gonna be like that, huh? It's just like, yeah, don't that man is not shy because he knows he
No.
can back it up.
Yeah, and isn't this the infamous Lesnar Jericho story that Lesnar backed Jericho to a wall and said, fight me or kiss me or something before it was
Oh
breaking
my
up?
God, I forgot about that. Oh my
That's why I said that
gosh.
Jerry, I think Lesnar hates Jericho for real.
Wow, yeah, that was such an old one. Oh yeah, don't think that one's happening. So yeah, Oba definitely seems like the main guy for that challenge, because that is next Raw that he's coming out, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, not SmackDown. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up SmackDown,
And
with a
then
couple of
Raw, well, Boba Femi just walked through Rusev. I mean, so that's a big guy. They just
oh.
had almost, walked over to so he could find a better fight, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that they're playing up the free agent thing. I kind of like that just because I don't feel like they've done a good job with any of the free agents in general.
No.
It's a good way to get Oba on TV and get him some squash matches. And
Yeah.
the Johnny wrestling one was good, enjoyable in the squashiness of it. This one, obviously, Rusev did put up something of a fight just because he is a much larger gentleman. But yeah, Oba still made fairly short work of him. I'm trying to what was the time stamp on that match? Just to take a look at that. 305. Oof, okay. Wow,
That's not
Johnny
much
did.
squashy.
Yeah,
Was
that's.
that the Johnny one? Was that the Johnny?
No, Johnny was like, oh, not quite 2 minutes.
Okay, I was gonna say. Yeah, no. I'm
So,
obvious. We are
yeah.
priming. We are priming Oba again, a pre Royal Rumble and a pre WrestleMania call up for NXT. It can get a little weird for a guy, but we are absolutely priming Oba Femi for a big match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, one could argue that this is the first time that they've called someone up in this time period and given them this kind of a push. You know, because even Braun Breaker got called up at a similar time, but wasn't quite in this conversation, I would say.
It may have his full-time call up. I want to say it was still after WrestleMania, because I think he still did a Stand and Deliver. This would have been 2024. Okay, because he comes in. I guess it's 2024 when he comes in. He gets the Intercontinental title from Sami Zayn. Quickly, but maybe not that quickly. And yeah.
February 16, 2024, Braun Breaker joined SmackDown.
Okay. I'm trying to
So,
remember. I don't. Did he? If we could find out quickly at it. Did he end up even having
oh,
a
and
match at
then,
WrestleMania that year?
oh my gosh, and I forgot about this silliness because he was, you know, going back to the free agent thing, he was a free agent for the longest time. SmackDown finally signed him, and then he got drafted to Raw in April.
I don't.
Because they didn't do anything with him from February until April.
I think he might have still been working NXT and did a Last Stand and Deliver, if I'm not mistaken. You might have to scroll up to his NXT page.
Well, yeah, because it said he was working with Corbin in
Oh
January of
yeah.
24.
Oh yeah. I remember liking
They
that team.
lost. Yes, you are correct. They lost their rematch April 9. So he was still bouncing between brands then during that time period. So yeah, like they didn't even full commit. Well, I
And
guess
April
that even makes it
9,
even worse.
would have been, was it Stand and Deliver, or was it after WrestleMania? I don't remember now.
That was Stand and Deliver.
Oh, that was Stand and Deliver. Yes.
Yes.
I remember him still being this being I vaguely remember him still being in a Stand and Deliver towards the end.
Yeah.
So we got to get back to our original
The
point.
Oba, yeah.
Obafemi, no one has come up to have, as big of a push probably in this time period, this January to WrestleMania, this Royal Rumble to WrestleMania time period as Obafemi. I mean, Trick Williams has been featured, Javon Evans has been featured, but not to the level of Obafemi, and not to the there's this obvious big thing you could do with him at WrestleMania. He has that they don't have right now, because they could both end up in some multiple person match for, one of the secondary belts or whatever ends up happening with all that.
Yeah. There are a lot of options with them. If Oba doesn't get the Brock Lesnar match, he's in a weird spot.
They could give him, because the people, to me, the biggest names in the most uncertain spots. I won't count Oba yet, because we have this idea for him, but LA Knight and LA Knight and Gunther for sure are definitely names
Oh.
that don't have WrestleMania matches. I know whatever Seth Rollins is doing at WrestleMania is so clouded by they desperately want Braun Breaker to be able to get to be back to get back, so they
Yeah.
might have to they might have to hold off on announcing anything there for a while. Which then affects other which then affects Logan Paul, and said then it affects the Austin Theory, then it can affect the Usos, and it can affect LA Knight, which is a good transition to the opening segment of Raw then, where Adam Pearce calls out Seth Rollins. A lot of masked men got a lot of independent wrestlers got $50 paydays. I assume.
Boy, I hope the paydays have been bumped up from $50 these days.
I think it's actually been bumped up from 25 to 50.
Oh.
But for a WWE appearance, maybe it is 50 to 100. Yeah. And they did this whole thing where you At first, the whole they were crisscrossing each other and you couldn't tell who was Rollins. That it didn't land with me the first time. But then after Logan Paul and Austin Theory came out and then they did it and all left and you didn't know which one was Seth. Okay, that one worked better. They were then attacked by LA Knight by himself, who was then overwhelmed 2-on-1 until the Usos showed up. And now we have the problem where our heel faction is now down to being they are outmatched here.
Yeah, never good when you are the team that takes advantage of the numbers, but unfortunately, two of the four of you are injured, and you can't do jack shit.
Yeah, they're gonna have to figure this one out because yeah, them having so many enemies and well, it was even when there was three, even there was four of them, or
They still
it
had
still
more
felt
enemies than they
they still had more
had
enemies. It's been a problem with the vision.
members.
It's been a problem with the vision the entire time actually, but now it's really really pronounced and it looks really really bad because we're just left with Logan Paul and Austin Theory.
Does
The
not
weak
help.
link,
They have done zero to reestablish him. Like,
No.
I think he's done okay on the mic.
He's okay. I mean, an obvious match they can get to for WrestleMania is Logan Paul and Austin Theory going for the Usos.
Oh, yeah.
But we've also again we don't know exactly who Seth Rollins is going to wrestle, and then LA Knight's still involved, and now the
And
Usos we'll get to are also sniffing around another WrestleMania match. But we'll get to that. We'll do that last, so we can bookend with talking about each championship match. But
yeah. The Usos have been in another one where they've had the championship for a while now, but we've also been
defended
in
them
that
once,
inf
yeah.
yeah, they've defended them once. Jimmy was off TV for I don't know how long. I don't know if it was for paternity leave or not. I don't feel
Yeah,
like
we haven't
we've
heard anything about that. Yeah,
heard one way or the other.
we've heard anything, and I damn sure don't want to. We cannot speculate about that at all. That because
No.
we could go down some dark roads. So we don't
No,
need to be
not.
speculating about people we don't know. And we have no
Yeah.
inside information.
We do not. But yeah, I mean, Jimmy was off TV for a number of weeks there, not long after they won the championships. And then they've almost acted more as singles wrestlers, or at least Jay has in the meantime, because and even when Jimmy's been back, they haven't really acted like a tag team, I guess, to me, or been
No, it's.
involved in the tag team scene in any way, shape, or form. Like, they're not even waiting around for like a number one contenders match or something, you know, with them at ringside or watching backstage or what, you know, wherever you want to throw them, I don't care. But, you know, yeah, they just haven't been involved in the tag scene. And it's, yeah, both of the tag belts have really struggled, even with a big name as the Usos holding on to them.
No.
Because holy smokes, was Raw that short? Oh yeah, because there really is I don't even know if I feel like talking about that match, but there was not a whole lot going on Raw, I suppose. I guess we could
No,
go
because the
with the
entire.
gauntlet match. It was kind of the next big thing since it
Yeah, and it
was.
took up what it was something like 40 minutes of TV. So yeah, there's not
Yeah.
much to talk about here. The I mean the it, I mean it's five singles matches in progress and it's four or five single matches in procession. It
Yeah,
so
37
what
minutes.
So
So
yeah,
yeah.
37. Yeah, it took up a lot of TV time. Bailey ultimately wins. Not a lot to talk about in between. Yeah, I mean, we continue
Yeah.
the abuse of Kairi Sane storyline in all of this. Yeah. Other than that, nothing. Nothing
Yeah, they didn't.
huge.
Well, you've kind of talked about it more in regards to the Royal Rumble, but they didn't even do any seed planting for matches during this gauntlet match, I don't feel
Well, I
like.
mean, they at least had Stephanie McCair stop Liv Morgan from interfering, so they got a little bit of time there.
Yeah, and I
Nothing.
guess what? The AJ Lee and Bailey match is this coming week
Yes, this coming
on
week, yeah.
Raw. And I mean, I guess just because Lyra did still defend Bailey, we might, I'm not even going to say might, more than likely are going to end up with them in a tag match at WrestleMania.
Oh yeah,
The chances
I would
Bailey
hope.
wins the IC title
No, that's no.
seem beyond slim to me.
No, that Bailey, she is just not. I have more to say about it in DM than I have on here, but Bailey just keeps getting caught between. I want to be the big sister of the locker room. I want to train the future, and I still have my own personal goals, and those can be in competition with each other, and just not be in alignment with each other. And she has certainly, creative has done her no favors at certain points, and her own, maybe taking something of a laissez-faire attitude to managing her own career has had an effect, and it's gotten to the point where she can be the person who gets removed from WrestleMania. Literally at the last minute, she can be removed from WrestleMania, or her and Lyra don't have to make it into WrestleMania. They could have them not make it into whatever the tag team kerfluffle is gonna be.
Yeah, it is a real possibility that that is on the menu for them. Just hanging
So
out and
yeah.
catering.
I mean, we're just getting a match so that, AJ Lee gets, her first, televised singles match. It's all on a streaming service now. You're just going from one streaming service to the other. But yeah, it gets her first regular TV match in like 11 years or what have you. And it's a match she's, they'll have that, friends wrestling each other, competitive match. AJ Lee is going to win. Is this where we see Becky return to attack AJ Lee and establish that, she wants her title back, or are we going to get additional AJ Lee women's championship matches before that, Intercontinental Championship before that happens on Raw? Maybe. But yeah, Bailey's not winning this thing.
No.
That's the one thing that is for sure.
No. Whether it was the original El Grande Americano or just El Grande Americano, I knew that they were not going to be beating Penta this week.
No, they were not. And no, this whole thing is just so. Compared to what you would see on AAA TV in Mexico, no one cares about this whole thing. And they haven't played it right. They haven't played it for enough of the comedic effect. It's like we're pretending El Grande Americano, the original, excuse me, the original. And that's stupid. Having to brand it that way is stupid.
Yeah, even like I sit there and I'm like, oh, A, Roman Reigns doesn't need to be the original tribal chief anymore since, well, he's the only tribal chief now.
Well, he did change it. He did
Because,
change the O to only.
oh, did
And then he's
he
done some,
miss out on that?
and I think now
Missed
he's
out
doing,
on that.
I think now he's even doing something else with a new shirt. I forget. I kind of forget what it was. But yeah, it's
Yeah, you got to keep
everything
the
about this.
OTC chants going, so.
Well, of course, yes. Yeah, ev ev everything. Yeah. We've these types of angles have been done before in wrestling. It's a it, it it's you know a regional wrestling trope of two masked guys, and you don't know who.
Who is who?
But of course, these two men look nothing alike. One is significantly larger than the other. We're not even acting like original Grande Americano is just Chad Gable in a mask trying to get one over on luchadors. It's not even that. It's not about that anymore. It's like it's like we're not acknowledging the existence of Chad Gable at all.
Yeah, that's been kind of the weird part about just the segment on both ends, where it was more entertaining when Michael Cole was just browbeating Corey Graves or whoever was with him on commentary about it being Chad Gable and the other person playing it off.
No,
And there's no
that was way
such
better.
entertainment value now like that, even.
Right. No. And it's kind of funny that Kaiser's Grande Americano has gotten himself actually insanely over as a babyface in AAA, but with the roles reversed here, it's helping neither of them.
Yeah, I mean, that is the other wild thing. I have not really watched AAA, but A, you can just tell from the way Corey Graves talks about it, and really the way other co-host Jeremy talks about it. He is genuinely over in Mexico, and whew, man, it's going over like a fart in church
Yes, I was about to say it.
anywhere north of Mexico. Like
And maybe San Antonio next week will help them a little bit if they get a more Hispanic heavy crowd that watches AAA, but I don't know. I mean, at this point, I think in a lot of ways WWE fans are WWE fans and they don't really know any other wrestling.
oh.
So,
Yeah.
especially if there's a kids, if it's a bigger kids audience, there's a lot of factors here but there's a better chance that they'll get a better reaction for the actual one-on-one match, but we've done nothing to really set this up. And as I said, they've done nothing, none of the humorous things you can do. We're not talking about, unmasking anybody and revealing the truth because everyone knows who's under both masks and no one cares.
Yeah, everyone's kind of going along with the gag, but not really. Yeah, it's kind of they're just in a weird spot, honestly. So, maybe no longer in a weird spot. One Finn Balor.
No, they finally did it. They finally did not quite the Judgment Day breakup because four of them are still going to stay together. And Finn was we kicked Finn out of the group, and JD Madonna made his choice, turning against
Yeah.
his longtime friend, and they then
JD is Team Dom.
yeah, and they you know they pretty brutally beat him down. Again, that whole part was really well done. I'm just not just as I said last week, I'm not totally understanding the reasons for removing the Intercontinental title from the Saul, because it feels like that would make this match them going for a facing for a title feels like it would be a bigger deal than them just in a grudge match.
And the grudge match aspect would help if, yet again, they had stayed more consistent with the story. Just because I feel like Finn and Dom arguing, though it's been on TV, I feel like there was almost more of an emphasis like 2 or 3 months ago than there was in leading up to this. Even though obviously there was a breaking point last week with Finn Balor intentionally not helping Dominic Mysterio in his Intercontinental title match against Penta last week.
I mean, I guess that's been being presented as the breaking point, yes. Yeah, I gotta see what they're gonna do with Penta. If they've got something lined up for Penta, then that's gonna, establish him and somebody else, and Then yeah, I get it because you can make the argument that Dom and Finn are going to have enough heat on their own to have a worthwhile match for WrestleMania. But if Penta is just thrown into some multi-man clusterfuck, defending the title against a bunch of people, then it's just like, why do we bother doing this? Why couldn't we have just kept the Intercontinental title in a heated feud, in a heated singles feud?
Yeah, I don't I don't have a good answer for that. Do not have, because I do think that Penta is deserving of the
He
championship, and
is
he's
deserving. He lost a, I don't even he lost at least I think 4 or 5 times to Dom previously, so it's like he was due, but he also didn't have to do the match, and he didn't have to turn, he didn't have the chance. I mean
Yes,
the whole thing
exactly.
of Danhausen cursing someone for the first time and it actually losing them losing a championship, that part is good. I like that, of course.
Well, and I guess since we're talking about the Danhausen side segment, he also cursed the original El Grande Americano, and then he did not show up for his match after that. So
No, no, no.
the fact that the curse is working out already, or at least, hey, if Michael Cole's gonna sell it, that man knows how to sell it, and
Yes. Yes.
he is
Everything.
already like, hold on a second, this is getting a little too weird here, and
Yes.
he's already starting to sell it.
Yes. Yes. Everything about how WWE after the first night has done with Danhausen just supremely trumps what AEW ever did. Like, they, again, like, just signing everything that gets hot on the indies, but they had no idea what to do with this. This is a situation where the WWE having a full writing staff is actually probably good for Danhausen. It's actually good to, it actually hones in the comedy and reins it in more, it actually make because I have never actually enjoyed Danhausen that much ever of what I've seen of it. I really haven't until now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been on board since seeing it in Absolute Intense Wrestling. I thought the gag was pretty funny. But I think you brought up a good point. Like, this is one where I've complained a lot about people carrying over the gimmicks, and Danhausen's been doing this gimmick for a while at this point.
But never in front of this many people, of course.
Well, and he's doing subtle things different too,
Yeah.
where the curse was like a big production in building up to it. And now it's just kind of like, you're cursed. And like he kind of says it nonchalantly, almost in a way.
Yes,
And
it makes
everyone.
it funnier. Yes.
Yes, it yeah, exactly. Like instead of being like this big production like they were doing in AEW, they've made it more subtle, and I'm like, oh my God, okay. Like, yeah, it's added something that wasn't there previously and has helped freshen the gimmick up, despite it being, if you wanted to look for it, you could have found it somewhere. We'll put it that way. But you did need to look. He definitely has not had this kind of an audience to it yet. And I guess it's time to get to the end here, correct?
Yes, I think it is.
Because Jackie Redmond in her Carmen Sandiego jacket decided to instigate with the Usos at the beginning of the show.
Sorry, I was just I, you took me back to Jackie Redmond wearing that outfit. That was great.
Well, I kind of mentioned it just because I laughed when later on in the show she did not have said trench coat on. There were some sartorial choices made specifically in that segment, but she kind of asked, she made sure to go back to ask the Usos about CM Punk rather than letting them walk away. And that really did end up leading to the end of the night here, with the Usos confronting CM Punk over the mentioning of their deceased uncle.
Yeah, this is where I'm. It was an intense segment. It worked in the moment, but it's also like this is where I'm starting. Are they going to overconvolute this thing? Because what real role do the Usos have in this as we keep moving forward?
Yeah, like I'm like I hope the original tribe, I guess, does not get back together. You know, like it would seem really weird to have the Usos involved in this matchup with Roman Reigns, because CM Punk's never gonna have the backup for it, really.
No.
Nor
I
does
playing it
that
up
do
that
anything for that match.
right. Yeah, it doesn't really. So yeah, I don't. I mean, I guess we can maybe get a Punk Jey Uso singles match out of it, or Punk versus Jimmy singles matches. But again, what is that? Again,
Oh.
it dilutes things more. It convolutes things more. It's. You know, we're already doing these two baby faces are just complete assholes to each other. So, you know, who do you cheer for? Who do you cheer for? You don't need them being even bigger dicks to other people. You know, welcoming other people into their orbit.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting where they find themselves. Like you said, like this is a good standalone segment. If we get a singles match or two out of it, cool.
Right.
But yeah, this does not need to continue into WrestleMania. Is something that like you said, convolutes the real story here. And I mean,
Yeah.
I do think that that is the one thing that CM Punk was honing in on, because the Usos kept on going, it's not about Roman Reigns. And CM Punk, to his credit, kept on making it about Roman Reigns. He's just like, nah, this guy is, he's like, hold on, why am I catching this heat when Roman Reigns has never apologized to you two? Like,
Yeah.
CM Punk definitely yet again being an asshole.
But
Even though
he's
he's
not
making a
wrong.
point,
He's
yeah, even
making
though
good
he's
points,
making a
yes.
point, still being an asshole,
Yeah.
nonetheless. Oh, so you know, yeah, good segment, and agreed. Hope it does not run too far into this to muddy the waters, and just yeah, let's keep this about CM Punk and Roman Reigns, and Punk really did that, you know. And we're probably gonna end up with a bunch of weeks like this anyway. We know that Roman Reigns is not coming each and every week to Raw and or SmackDown to make an appearance these days.
Right, yeah.
CM Punk wants to, but hey, he doesn't have kids. So, you know, I you know, different kicks for different folks here. I feel like there's a rhyming
Correct.
version of that I just completely butchered. Anything else to talk about, sir, before I talk about beverages?
I think we're good. I think we can table any go ahead. No, go ahead. I didn't really,
Yeah.
that was an incomplete thought.
Oh, good. Bell Time beer of the show, Ellicottville, a brewing company, chocolate peppermint bark. This one is also brought to you by Platter's Chocolate Factory. So, hey, if you are a New York person or happen to be in central Pennsylvania, Ellicottville Brewing distributes, and evidently Platter's is a chocolate factory that's been around for 85 years. Had no idea, because Hershey's a hell of a lot closer. But still, you know what? This beer, 7% alcohol, it does have a nice bit of chocolate to it. It does have just enough peppermint in there. Like, it is not an overwhelming amount of peppermint, and it is, they call it a flavored stout. So, dark beers, as I've talked about on the show previously, really put up with a lot of extra flavors. So even something like a peppermint does not completely stand out when you have such a dark beer and the additional chocolatiness that they add to just kind of a standard stout. So, should one find themselves in the state of New York or in Pennsylvania where this is distributed, also Ellicottville Brewing. I've had a couple other of their beers and they are pretty tasty. So, go ahead and grab those. That's the Belltime Beer Suggestion from Matt DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.